Good morning. The hospital that provides emergency services to an area nearly a third of Oahu depend on could be getting some creative help to stay open. We'll talk with Representative Marcus Oshiro about what the state budget now holds for Wahiwa General Hospital and if it will work. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich.
And I'm Chris Vandercook. The Hawaii Theater Young Actors Ensemble presents The Tragedy of Othello, and BBC Scotland presenter Billy Kay looks at the untold history of Scots in Hawaii.
That's the conversation for this Monday, April 11th, day six of Challenge 2016, and it all starts right after the news.
Welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning.
Looking at an essential part of life in central Oahu for quite a while, yeah?
You bet. And what its future may be is quite dependent upon what we may see in the next couple of weeks, maybe even in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Now, the story of Wahiwa General Hospital's quest to stay open took a turn last week. A proposal for the state to purchase the hospital's parking lot land is the latest idea to meet the hospital's request for $3 million annually for the next few years. Why the Central Oahu facility needs the money has a lot to do with the shifting medical landscape over the last decade and the population that the area that the hospital area serves. Many are on Medicare and Medicaid, and with the Senate set to vote on the budget tomorrow, will there be help for Wahiwa General Hospital? Representative Marcus Oshiro joins us this morning to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
There has been a long and storied history to Wahiwa General Hospital, but the latest bit that most of us have been watching since at least the last 8 or 9 years has watched it grow from a tiny little hospital that all of a sudden had to absorb a lot of ER traffic when we had other hospitals closing and ambulances being diverted to be able to serve that need, to being souped up and ramped up to a hospital that's, you know, pretty much state-of-the-art, but very much geared to its community. Given the fact that we've watched this journey of the hospital, why is it in still so much financial difficulty?
Wahiwa General Hospital is in the same situation like any community hospital in Hawaii, similar to what the rural hospitals on the neighbor island face. You have great expensive land to service, relatively small populations to service, and dwindling reimbursements of Medicaid and Medicare dollars, primarily from the federal government sequestration act. You also have rising costs of medical care, both services, equipment, medicines, etc. But the need here is very compelling. You know, one third of the island receives services through Wahiwa General Hospital. We have 107 long-term skilled nursing facilities beds. We have an ER that services over 20,000 people a year. 95% of those folks who enter our ER rooms would spend 2-3 days at our acute care hospital, which is 60 beds set aside.
And a lot of those people who come in may not at all be reimbursable to the hospital.
Wahiwa General Hospital provides $2.5 million of charitable or bad debt care. In fact, I spoke to Don Olden last week, and he told me we get about one homeless individual every day at the hospital.
Mr. Olden being the head of the hospital.
That's great. He's the CEO.
As you're looking at some of these creative ideas that have come out, including the last one last week, with all, you know, good intentions to try to find the cash, is there really a way that this can be workable to sell the land back to the state and then have the state lease it back to Wahiwa General? Does that make sense? Does it pencil out?
We are currently reviewing it. I did some preliminary research. I spoke to the Deputy Attorney Generals. I spoke to some of the staff at the Department of Land and Natural Resources, the Department of Accounting and General Services last week, Thursday and Friday. Today is Monday. The Board of Directors of Wahiwa General Hospital will be reviewing the proposal put forward by the Senate. But let me inject at this point in time. I want to thank the Senate and Senate leadership, Senate Chair Tokuda, Vice Chair De La Cruz, for at least coming forward and making that commitment of $5 million to Waiawa General Hospital. It means a lot to my community. It means a lot to those 7,000-plus folks from Waiawa, Mililani, and North Shore who came forward and petitioned their government for assistance. However, upon review of the proposal, we may not be able to accept it as it's currently suggested, primarily because there is an underlying lien by one of the banks on the properties. There's also a condition that's imposed upon the hospital by the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation regarding any proceeds of any sale of any of the hospital's assets. So those two conditions at the onset may not allow us to move forward with this current proposal.
Because the bottom line would have to be how much of that would be eaten up by the $5 million that would be raised, and then does that put you in the same position going forward? And that's yet to be known until all this is truly penciled out.
Yeah, that's correct. I think that's where the board of directors will be meeting this morning and going over the different financial scenarios and the effects of those two conditions already imposed upon the land as first conditions. One scenario is that because of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation stipulation, half of the proceeds of any sale would go to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. So let's say that we were to sell the land for $5 million. Right off the top, half, 2.5, would go to the federal government. And again, leave us short of what we need.
Short in just 1 year's time, and certainly there would be nothing that would be provisionally made for the following year. So it sounds like this idea may or may not work, but as you go forward and looking to keep the hospital open, what about the simple idea of just saying, you know, legislature says, here's the cash? Is that a possibility?
That certainly is a possibility. If I had my druthers, Beth Ann, I would say, let's provide $3 million this year, $3 million next year, make a direct appropriation to the Department of Health, have the director of the Department of Health, Jenny Pressler, administer that money through a purchase of service contract or expand the current purchase of service contract with Waiawa General Hospital. Number two, look at the grant and aid process, work with the Attorney General, craft the appropriate language. There is precedent for that means of financing. We did it before with a program on Kauai, so it can be done. But again, the easiest, simplest, quickest, honest, most transparent way of doing it is to provide a $3 million appropriation in the budget.
And what about getting the governor involved with all of this?
You know, the governor will eventually get involved. He is the chief executive. He will be receiving the budget once we hand it out to him sometime in the next month or so. He'll have to weigh in on releasing the money to the Department of Health. He'll be involved at some point in time.
We just don't know how exactly this is going to play out, but we wish you all the best, and certainly for Waiawa General Hospital, and we'll be watching.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for coming in. Representative Marcus Oshiro represents District 46, which includes Waiawa and Whitmore Village.
Support for today's programming comes from Maui Arts and Cultural Center, presenting Christopher K. Morgan's Pohaku, a dance theater piece exploring themes in the history of Hawaii's native people. 7:30 p.m. Thursday in Castle Theater. Tickets at mauiarts.org.
Thank you, Charles, and good morning, everyone. Ray Cruz with you here at Pledge Central on this day six of Challenge 2016. I'll tell you what, I was listening to that story on the conversation, Beth Ann talking with Marcus Oshiro, and I tell you, this is really important for those of us. That's my area. Mm-hmm. How important that hospital is to all of that area, Mililani, Haleiwa, all of that has to be appropriated. It has to. We can't be shutting down hospitals. I mean, there's other things that you might be able to trim here. That's just my own personal opinion. I'm not trying to get on a soapbox here, but it's really super important. It affects me. So, and this is the kind of stories that you hear on The Conversation that brings this community together. And you only hear that kind of program right here on Hawaii Public Radio, created for. It's mission-driven. This program was put together with one mission in mind, to bring the community together, not only here on Oahu, but also all of the islands, bring them all together. I can't even imagine, Wayne Yoshioka, how many guests have they had? You did the math the other day without getting really super crazy. It's been thousands of guests that have been on the conversation with Beth Ann and Chris.
Over the last 5 years, they've had 1,600 shows. 1,600 shows. I mean, that is unbelievable. And for topics like Wahiwa General Hospital, I mean, that's the only hospital and emergency room within a 37-mile radius. We cannot lose a community asset like Wahiwa General Hospital.
And it needs to be updated, too, because I've been there. I've been there myself, and, you know, I'm like going, wow. When you compare other emergency rooms that I've been to, and I'm like going,
Oh, no, they did. They did revamp it. I mean, it's got the top state-of-the-art, and they can take in 20 patients at one time. They've got monitors all over the place. They've got more computers than we have albums.
Wow, and that's a lot of computers. Well, listen, let me get you up to speed on what's happening here. This is day six, and we started out with a goal of $961,000. So far, we've raised $517,000, and that's a lot of money. I mean, that's a lot of money that we've raised so far, and we are very proud of each and every dollar and penny that we've raised since the phones opened up at 619 last Wednesday. But there's still a lot of heavy lifting to do, folks. It's $443,000 that we have to raise to bring this campaign to an end. This morning at 6:19, a very important moment in the history of Hawaii Public Radio. Those of us that have been around here a little while, we've seen general managers come aboard, but of course, if you didn't know, we're going to have a brand new general manager taking over in June. Michael Titterton will be stepping back, so to speak, not stepping down. You step back for a second and be able to enjoy and look at all the things that he's led this radio station to in the last, 14 years, Gina?
17.
My gosh, that's a long time. And we sitting at this table have seen the growth of this radio station, and we wouldn't have been able to do it without every caller who's called during a pledge drive, right here, right now. This particular number, 941-3689. Every 6 months, that number is ingrained in my mind, and it should be in yours. And if you haven't used it, well, I don't know what you're waiting for, but it couldn't have better leverage right now to help us get to the end of this drive than right now. Calling in support of The Conversation, 941-3689. Toll-free, 1-877-941-3689. That's to the neighbor islands. This program, The Conversation, brings the neighbor islands closer to us. It's not an Oahu-centric program. We have people come in, they fly in, they're guests. Anything that has to do with the state of Hawaii, The Conversation is there to fill that void and get the message out, get the stories of all the guests out. Joining me this morning, Gene Evans, he's the community outreach manager. And good morning, Gene. You, more than anybody else, knows the mission of the community and how important The Conversation is to the community.
Yeah, this is a mission-driven program. Part of our mission of Hawaii Public Radio is to entertain, educate, inform the people of Hawaii about what's going on in the world at large. So we have national and international shows which do that very well. But The Conversation is particularly focused on events in and around our island communities. It's very resource intense. It's very, how do you say, people spend a lot of man hours and woman hours on the program.
Absolutely.
And it shows in their work. The work is excellent, but it requires a lot of help. And that's what we're asking you for now.
941-3689 is the number to give us a call. We'd like to get our first caller for The Conversation.
I would like one of those 1,600 people who were on in the last calendar year who were on the conversation and were able to get their message out to the community. Maybe we can hear from somebody who's been on the show and how that they can relate their story of how being on the conversation helped.
Absolutely. It's all about paying back, giving, paying forward. You know, if you benefit, I'm a firm believer, if you benefit from something, whether it's spiritually or you know, on a mental way, if you benefit from something, pay it back, pay it forward, and show your support. We're looking for, in this particular case, the conversation as we were talking, lots of resources into this particular program, $1 a day.
Consider $30.41 a month. Consider it a subscription.
Absolutely. Just
consider it like your Netflix, like your newspaper, like your cell phone. Consider that a subscription model for Hawaii Public Radio. Come aboard, $30 a month, you'd be doing everybody a big favor.
Oh, absolutely. Get us that much closer to finishing this drive.
And, right? And I really liked what you said, Ray, about paying forward. I mean, when you started here, the fund drive was $220,000.
No, it was even less than that.
And look at how much we've grown.
Absolutely. You know? And we still have a long way to go, not only on this drive, but a long way to go to a lot of room to grow, so to speak. 941-3689. $200 to go on our $300 matching gift on the table. We're going back to the conversation and check in with Chris Vandercook on this Monday morning here on Challenge 2016.
Hey, thanks, Ray and Wayne and Gene at the Pledge Table. You're back with the conversation on HPR2. William Shakespeare, gone now these 400 years, is probably the most infinitely adaptable artist who ever lived. His stories can be altered in time, place, and gender. His texts can be edited ruthlessly, but his universal themes somehow always find their way to the audience. Othello is one of his most accessible plays because issues like love and trust, race and jealousy, the green-eyed monster, haven't gone away. Eden Lee Murray is directing a new production of Othello for the Hawaii Theater Young Actors Ensemble, and she's with us in our studio. Good morning, Eden.
Good morning, Chris.
Let's touch on those themes, because I was just thinking about, you know, being a young actor, kind of in that first blush of young love, and seeing in Shakespeare young love, or, you know, mature love, turning to disaster for no really good reason.
Well, it's actually a very good reason, and it's spite. And it's the way we've been looking at it. The play's called Othello, but mm-hmm. I think it's also, it's Iago is at the center of the linchpin of the play. And he's, you had the Shakespeare, I think it's his saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Yeah.
Well, Iago is the woman of the play.
That was nothing compared to Iago's
right.
fury.
Well,
right,
well, and what there's some people who approach the play in the past who see Iago as simply one of Shakespeare's bad to the bone villains.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's boring to play for an actor, and it's
sure.
not very much fun for an audience to watch. And what we've got, we've tried to figure out exactly what soured the relationship between Iago and Othello. And if you figure that they were both battle buddies, they've come through, it's alluded to in the text, they've come through wars together,
mm-hmm.
post-trauma, what is that, PTSD syndrome could be a possibility.
Well, he feels passed over.
Well, if you think that the two of them were as close as two guys could be in battle,
mm-hmm.
in combat, and I think Iago believed that the friendship went both ways, but he comes back from the wars with Othello, and what does Othello do? One, he passes him over for promotion for this handsome, studly, blonde, not a Venetian, he's somebody else, but Michael Cassio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns his back on Iago as a relationship and goes to Desdemona, who
mm-hmm.
is this younger woman, and Iago is left out in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I think he turns completely bitter, and he decides, A, he's going to take Othello down, and he's going to do it with the two most important people to him.
Well, he's a thwarted lover.
Exactly right, I think. And we were trying to figure out, too, trying to figure out the relationships of the play. Why is Iago so horrible to Emilia, his wife?
Mm-hmm.
And that leads Emilia to betray Desdemona with the handkerchief. She does anything to get her husband back. Well, you have to believe that they were lovers. They were in love at some point, and then she doesn't understand why Iago's turned away from her, and that, again, is the PTSD thing, I think. And that's very timely.
Even the most evil actions in the minds of the people doing them, they think they have a good reason.
Absolutely. No villain believes
right.
that he's a villain.
And if you play it otherwise, it is a boring villain because it's one-dimensional.
Right.
But Iago feels absolutely justified in everything he does, no matter how nasty it is.
Absolutely.
In fact, everyone feels justified. I mean, Othello, in his unspeakable act at the end of the play, feels justified and then immediately repents, but too late, right?
Right, and he has a line, as a matter of fact. He's angry that Desdemona tries to convince him that she didn't have anything to do with Cassio, and he's saying, how can you turn what was going to be an act of justice into an act of revenge? And that fuels the violence of his death. And Tony Pisculli has given us one of the most gorgeous Desdemona deaths. He said he's done the death a number of times as he's choreographed the fight stuff. And I said, I want it to be, this is a violent man. This is a warrior, Othello. And I don't want him to just put a pillow over Desdemona's face. It has to be a crime of passion, right? As it would have been in battle, exactly right. And I was telling you a little bit before, when we have Tycho drumming, live Tycho soundscape drumming, the violence of the play in several places shifts into a completely different dimension. It goes into slow motion, the lights change, and we have Tycho soundscape for it. And when Desdemona and Othello shift up into that plane, it is absolutely stunning.
That deep booming sound of the Tycho drums,
right? Yeah. And then it filters into a heartbeat, and then the heartbeat goes away as she dies. And I would have to say there's a cautionary thing. I think our production is not going to be for children 12 and under.
Sounds like it.
It's the violence is, there's not blood, but it's stylized and it's violent. Quite beautiful.
It's such an intense play on themes that touch everyone, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we were saying again earlier, the whole thing about gossip and rumor. You look at what's going on with cyberbullying and high school kids and college
kids. And the damage
kids,
you can do.
The damage you can do. And when people, it's really easy. And we all, the human thing is to believe the worst. Somebody passes you a juicy little bit of gossip and you don't say, well, wait a minute, is that true? I know that person. They're not like that. No, you go generally, really? Wow.
Does Iago think that his gossipy whole maneuvering is going to lead to Desdemona's death?
I think he wants it to lead to whatever is going to hurt Othello the worst.
He wants destruction. I just wonder if he knew it was going to go quite to that extreme.
I don't know.
I don't either.
That's a really wonderful question.
That's why I asked you.
One of the things that we were talking about at the very beginning of the process in January is how did all the relationships, you know, what's to what, who is Desdemona to Iago? And the boy, Nikolai Brown, who's playing a beautiful Iago, he was saying, I don't think I care much for Desdemona. And I said, why? He said, well, she's very smart. She's intelligent, and I think she intimidates me. And I said, well,
wow, that's good.
What is Iago if not absolutely brilliant? And he said, yeah, but I think my wife doesn't challenge me. And here's this woman who has taken my place with my best buddy.
Oh, yeah.
And if she's, what do they call that, collateral damage. I don't really care.
Yeah.
And the way he's playing it, it's like we've talked about this too.
I think that's a really smart interpretation.
Yeah. And Nikolai, he said, am I sympathetic when she cries to me? I said, absolutely not. I say, I think the image you want to think about is a spider in a web. And at
Perfect.
The beginning of the play, he doesn't know it's going to succeed. He just knows he's going to start. And we have Iago break the fourth wall time and time again when he talks to the audience. And I said, each time you speak with the audience, you're stronger. Because you put one more web, one more strand out, and it's lashed onto a bug. And by the end of the play, it's not until the very end that he knows he's going to go down. He thinks he's gotten bigger and stronger and sucking the blood of those around him, and then he's defeated.
Eden Lee, we'll look forward to that. Thank you so much. Eden Lee Murray is the education director for the Hawaii Theater Center, whose Young Actors Ensemble production of The Tragedy of Othello will be performed Friday, April 22nd. At Hawaii Theater in downtown Honolulu.
Unihua, ulehua, unihau, ukaua, uahu, umulokai, ulanai, umau, ukaholabe, uhangai.
In today's Backyard Quiz, we're thinking about a Scotsman who came to Hawaii around 1810. He journeyed to Hawaii from Boston on the American trading ship, the Albatross, after a term of service in the British Royal Navy. He met King Kamehameha I, who enlisted him, along with English sailor John Young, to take command of the Navy of the Kingdom of Hawaii. At Kamehameha's command, he led an armada to Kauai to remove Russian Fort Elizabeth and complete the unification of the islands. When the first Christian missionaries came to the islands in 1820, he and John Young helped to persuade the king to let them come ashore. We're looking for the name of this intrepid Scotsman, and if you think you know, call us at 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. And if you're the first one to get it right, yeah, you get the T-shirt.
Support for today's programming comes from the 11th Annual Hawaii Book and Music Festival, celebrating reading, storytelling, and music, April 30th and May 1st on the grounds of Honolulu Hale. Event schedule online at hawaiibookandmusicfestival.com.
Stargazer Time, our weekly look into the massive universe surrounding our very small planet. We turn to the expertise of Christopher Phillips. Hey, Christopher, welcome back.
Hey, Dave. Good to be here. For this week's Stargazers, look out for the planets of Mars and Jupiter in your morning sky. Now, both planets are very, very bright, and Mars in particular will be shining extremely bright in the morning sky.
And we have a cool thing, an update on big story about the black hole that folks may or may not have been hearing about. Christopher has a little more for us today. What's going on?
Astronomers using the 8-meter Gemini North telescope atop Mauna Kea have discovered a supermassive black hole. And when I say that, I'm really not exaggerating. This black hole is 17 billion times the mass of our sun. And it's located near a galaxy called NGC 1600, some 200 million light years away from our own Milky Way.
And why hasn't this been discovered before?
Well, supermassive black holes like this are normally found in clusters of galaxies and other black holes. They tend to group together, and we think that the big black holes form because they basically gobble up all the matter in their region of space, and hence they get so large. But this black hole was located in an area of space where there really isn't anything at all.
And you said they like to sort of clump together?
That's right. Because these objects are so massive, their mutual gravity attracts one another, and eventually you get collisions, and black holes consume other objects, and in some cases black holes merge together to form even bigger black holes.
And that's what we've got going on here?
We have. But what's strange about this is that this black hole, because it's so massive, must have consumed everything else around it. So basically now, it's left on its own out there in space.
Do they eventually become not so hungry anymore, sort of like an animal, your pet? If you feed them enough pellets, they stop, they stop seeming interested in more, or is there more to come?
Well, we're really not sure. The actual lifespan of a black hole is something that we really don't have any idea about. One of the big questions in physics right now is, do these black holes stay as large as they really are, or do they evaporate very, very slowly over a long period of time? That's something that's been suggested by the physicist Stephen Hawking.
And everything in it goes with it.
It disappears from the universe.
Wow, that is a trip. Well, more fascinating information from you, no question about it. Thank you so much, Christopher Phillips.
You are welcome, Dave.
And I'm Dave Lawrence. Catch you next week for Stargazer.
Support for Stargazer comes from HTA, a public charter school serving students grades K through 12 on each island, providing each student with the opportunity for a personalized learning plan combining face-to-face and virtual instruction. Learn more at myhta.org.
This is The Conversation on HPR, Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Chris Vandercook. For today's international news, here's a look at global events from Deutsche Welle.
On this Monday morning, Ray Cruz with you here at Pledge Central, Challenge 2016, joined at the table by HPR's reporter, Wayne Yoshioka, and Gene Evans of the Community Outreach Manager from Upstairs in Membership. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning, Ray.
Let's get you up to speed on what's going on. When we started out the conversation this morning, we had a matching gift on the table of $300, and that came from Steve Frank of Hilo, encouraging other listeners in Hilo to become station members. And at this point in the drive, Gene Evans, it's so important to have people who have been sitting on the sidelines, so to speak, get involved and get us that much closer. First of all, we only need $60 to go to take this challenge off the table. So if you've been waiting for a while and you're maybe not yet a member of Hawaii Public Radio, but first of all, before I say that, I want to say there's been a lot of people call in and do additional gifts. So thank you to all of you who see the importance of having a program like The Conversation on board, that they do additional gifts. They go beyond just the regular pledge that everybody does. They go above and beyond. But Gene Evans, as we are talking about how important it is to support Hawaii Public Radio, and at this juncture of the drive, to make sure that we get that momentum and keep it going and finishing the drive.
Hit all the goals and just keep on keeping on. This is a custom-built situation for you. I know you've been thinking about becoming a member for a long time, and you're wondering, whether, you know, how do I do this? Is it easy? Is it hard? It's painless. It's easy, and you can do it. You pick up the phone and commit yourself to $5 a month. You think you could maybe do that? $5 a month, maybe. You know, take the loose change out of your pocket every day, put it in a jar. You probably have $5 a month.
Easy.
You can dedicate to Hawaii Public Radio. You become a member at $5 a month. You're going to have the great feeling of membership. Radio is going to sound better. You're going to help us meet this challenge, because that's what we need. We need somebody pledging at $5 a month to meet this challenge and get this goal, and that's what we need. We need you to do this. 941-3689, dialing from the Neighbor Islands, 877-941-3689. You can also pledge online at hawaiipublicradio.org.
Wayne, we had someone call in during the last break.
Yes, we did. Let's thank Maureen Schaefer from Honolulu. She's giving us an additional gift. She's already a sustaining member. And she says, Beth Ann and Chris, in honor of you, they do so much and they do such a terrific job. 941-3689 to support the conversation. Toll free from the Neighbor Islands, 877-941-3689.
Thanks, Maureen. Maureen is a great volunteer, too.
Absolutely. That name sounds familiar. I've heard it, seen her quite a bit around the station. She's just absolutely phenomenal. That's what it's all about, you know. What you should do is, if you're not yet a member of Hawaii Public Radio, I urge you maybe sometime during a drive, call up Gene Evans and the folks up in membership and volunteer sometime. And once you see the process and see how much goes into putting on a drive and all the things that it involves, it's infectious. And you,
all the cool kids are doing it.
Yeah,
kid, are you not?
No, seriously.
Seriously.
I mean, you know, it's just the right thing to do, to invest in something like Hawaii Public Radio, because it just keeps on giving back to you in so many ways, whether it's music, news, information, talk shows. This afternoon, the Body Show will be on, and just great programming. And if you tune in every morning to listen to the conversation, I urge you, now is the time. We need you now more than ever to keep that momentum going. We have 2 minutes before we go back to check in with our own Chad Blair. We're going to have a reality check, and the reality check that I'm having with you right now is this. We want to finish this drive on time. Today is the first day that our new GM is here in the station. You'll be meeting him up close and personal during All Things Considered here on HPR2. We definitely want to finish this drive while he's here. And the reason we want to do that is that he can see and feel the energy of our people here in Hawaii. Hawaii is a very giving state. People are very generous here, but they have to believe in what they are giving to.
And they also need somebody to lead the way.
Absolutely.
They need somebody to pick up the phone right now and make the call, become a member, and show people what proper behavior is. 941-3689. Call us from the Big Island, 877-941-3689.
$60 to go on this matching gift from Steve Frank of Hilo.
One person, you can do it.
One person.
$5 a month.
It's that simple. 941-3689. You know, really, if we start picking up, when we start picking up the momentum and you pick up the phone, you will make it possible to help us make this drive the shortest ever. We've raised a lot of money in one day, but you can't think of what you've done in the past. We can only think in the now. Now. You can't let anybody else do the heavy lifting. If you do, you're missing out. You really are.
You're missing the point.
Yeah, you're missing it. You're enjoying it. You're enjoying the program, but you're missing the point. 941-3689. Give us a call. We need you now more than ever. And, of course, to take this matching gift off the table from Steve Frank and Hilo, Neighbor Islands, Hilo, we'd love to hear from you. 1-877-941-3689. We're going back to the conversation. Check in with Chad Blair.
Thanks very much, Ray. And yes, we are going to check in with Chad. Seven community members comprise the mayor-appointed Honolulu Police Commission, but are they the watchdogs they're supposed to be, especially with three members whose terms may be up very soon? Joining us for today's reality check is Civil Beat reporter Chad Blair. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Part of this kind of goes back to the idea of how much trust is there really in the commission, and will potentially three new members make a difference, or if these same members stay, will that increase the trust value for people who are looking at the police commission and thinking, maybe not?
Well, Nick Gruby, our reporter who covers police issues and who has the story up today, he talked to at least one of those police commissioners, Helen Hamada. She's been on the board for a number of years now. And she was the only one who publicly would actually express some concern that maybe public trust is starting to erode under Chief Louis Kealoha. Now, remember, when Kealoha was appointed back in 2009, he himself was following another police chief who had his own share of problems. But Kealoha promised integrity, fairness, and respect. Well, in fact, right now he is under a federal investigation for alleged corruption and abuse of power. His wife, a deputy prosecutor, is involved as well. Remember that mailbox theft that started that whole thing off?
I know you do.
Anyway, yes, exactly, for Gridiron Insiders. And as well, there is a whole series of police misconduct incidents, which Nick has been reporting on quite dutifully. So at the same time, the commission just last month gave Kealoha a very glowing annual performance review, saying he is exceeding expectations. Well, is he really? And if a commission was really doing its job, really exercising proper civilian oversight, would he even still hold that job? And that's at the crux of this reality check this morning.
That and the fact that the word watchdog may have been diluted.
Right. And Ron Takeda, he's the commissioner that's in charge, and he's been defensive about what the commission's done. He thinks Kealoha has done a good job. He won't talk to Nick, but he has told others that he feels that the press has created a false impression of what's going on in HPD. But clearly there are a lot of concerns, so much so that there is a charter commission proposal to put before voters the decision whether to give the commission more power, to suspend or fire a police chief, a power to subpoena in misconduct cases. That is an indication, it seems, that there is at least concern among the Charter Commission members that HPD needs more oversight.
And that goes well beyond just what the media has been talking about. Thanks very much, Chad. We'll talk to you in the morning.
Thanks, Beth Ann.
Thanks, Chad. Chad Blair reports for Civil Beat.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Matson, whose employees and their families volunteer with local charities, including the March of Dimes March for Babies this spring and the American Heart Association's Heart Walk in the summer. Learn more at matson.com/foundation.
In today's Backyard Quiz, a Scottish officer in the British Royal Navy who became a loyal ally of Kamehameha I and served him as commander of the Navy of the Hawaiian Kingdom. He played a role in the unification of the islands under Kamehameha and in the growing influence of Christianity in the kingdom. Some historical accounts credit him with the design of the Hawaiian flag, adding the Union Jack and saying, "If we don't pledge allegiance to Britain, we may all perish." He lived a long and prosperous life in the islands, dying in 1871. He's buried in the Nu'uanu Cemetery next to his friend and fellow Scotsman Andrew Auld. They share a tombstone that reads, "Twa cronies fra' the land of heather are sleeping here in death together." He was known to the Hawaiians as Alika Napunako Adams, but the name we went looking for is Captain Alexander Adams. And that's our quiz for today. Guess nobody got it, but keep trying, folks. Nineteenth-century Hawaii drew people from all over the world, sowing the seeds of the hybrid culture we have today. Billy Kay is a Scotsman who is fascinated by the way his people found their way to unlikely corners of the world down through the centuries. He's a BBC Scotland writer and presenter who's been in Hawaii this past week conducting interviews for a documentary radio series called The Scottish World. He told us how the project came together.
I spent a year traveling around the world when I left university back in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the places I got to on my travels was Hawaii. And I didn't think there were any Scottish connections with Hawaii. I knew of none. But I visited the Bishop Museum, and there was a letter from Princess Kaiulani to Robert Louis Stevenson, mm-hmm. inviting him for some good Scotch cow-cow, for some good Scottish food. And then I realized the connection between the royal family and Robert Louis Stevenson, whom I had studied in Scottish literature,
sure.
but also the fantastic connection between the royal family, the fact that the last princess, Princess Kaiulani, who would have been queen had Hawaii remained independent, that she was half Scottish. So I thought, what a wonderful story, a romantic story at that time. So I always wanted to come back and follow that story up when then I became professionally engaged in stories of the Scottish diaspora around the world, and I wrote a book on the subject, and mm-hmm. I've done many, many documentaries about Scots in different parts of the world. But always in the back of my mind was the desire to come back to Hawaii and to make these programs.
It's such an unlikely place. It would, at first blush, it would seem an unlikely place for Scots to end up, but you folks were traveling all over the world.
Indeed, and there have been different periods where the Scots have migrated, some in large numbers, for example, to Poland and Prussia in the 17th century, the big Scottish migration there, mm-hmm. sometimes in smaller but very influential numbers to Scandinavia, for example, some of the greatest people in Scandinavian history, like the composer Edvard Grieg, or the politician W.F.K. Christie, or the poet Petter Dass, are all from that Scottish diaspora. So although the Norwegians claimed them as Norwegian heroic figures and famous figures, mm-hmm. they're actually from that Scottish diaspora. So we went a lot of different places. And Hawaii, North America, and then by extension into the Pacific, was a natural place in the 19th century, if you like, for the Scots to come. And then there were economic opportunities.
Yes.
For example, in the sugar trade. A lot of the sugar equipment was manufactured in the city of Glasgow. Glasgow was the second city of the British Empire and mm-hmm. an industrial powerhouse.
Yeah.
And there was a firm called Middle East and Watson, which made engineering equipment, and it was sold to Hawaii for the sugar trade. So I think that was maybe why initially the Scots came into Hawaii in the sugar industry. But then other Scots went back home, and there's stories of villages in the northeast of Scotland, of people coming from, especially the Big Island, coming there and seeing great opportunities. Basically, if you go to Hawaii and you're skilled, you will get a job. And a lot of people, at times of economic downturns, after the First World War, for example, availed themselves of that opportunity to come to Hawaii. And then there was always the attraction of just the beautiful climate and the beautiful scenery, etc. It's a very beautiful place to come.
Well, Billy, in a way, what you're talking about is an intersection of the Industrial Revolution, the advent of new machinery,
yes.
the awareness of new opportunity, and things are changing so fast in the Hawaiian Islands in the 19th century, you know, that industries were really cropping up over the space of a couple of decades. All of a sudden there'd be a brand new industry, huh?
Yes. Yes. And one of the interesting characters from the earlier days was there was a Captain Alexander Adams who headed the fleet, the royal fleet of one of the kings in the late 18th, early 19th century. And there was a man called Archibald Campbell, who is a remarkable story of a man who was disabled by losing his feet to frostbite up in the Arctic, who somehow came to Hawaii. And because he had the skill of weaving, the king's family took him in and looked after him. And he weaved some of the first cloth in Hawaii. And that was the beginning of a weaving industry as well. So there's a lot of stories like that. The one thing that the Scottish working class had was basic literacy. And that gave them an advantage over many other nations, many other countries,
mm-hmm.
because they were hard working, but they had the basic skill of being able to read and write. And that goes back to the Scottish Reformation, to the 1550s, the desire for everyone in the country to to be able to read and write. And that gave Scots a huge advantage when they traveled the world. You had people like, also, people like some of the early botanists and plant collectors and gardeners in Hawaii were Scots. A lot of the botanical gardens around the islands were planted by Scots, and two of them as famous, Menzies or Mingies, and the great David Douglas, who's the Douglas fir is named after, and he actually died botanizing on the Big Island. And there's a lovely monument there on the Big Island on the slopes of one of the volcanoes called the Doctor's Pit, where David Douglas died, and which is beautifully preserved by the state. I wish they would do more to tell people about it so that people could visit it.
Well, you know, there are lots of stories that people would love to hear more of, because, you know, it has to be one of the most exciting aspects of your work to be making these discoveries. There has to have been much that surprised you that you've come across, yeah?
Absolutely. And it's, I knew the basic stories of the sugar, of Robert Louis Stevenson, but you always discover new ones. I mean, literally every place I've gone, I've discovered another story of an influential Scot. And as I say, I think that goes to the fact that they had those basic skills that they brought with them to Scotland. They didn't come... One of the other things for the future in Hawaii, I would love... The Caledonian Society and the St. Andrew Society are doing a good job of preserving knowledge of the history here. But I feel, for example, when you're in the airport and you look at books on Hawaii, they'll cover the big ethnic groups that came almost in sometimes almost forced migration, people who came to work in the fields, in the plantations. But the smaller groups, like the Scots, are often totally ignored, despite the extensive effect they had on the industry. So, in other words, if the Scots in Hawaii don't preserve that history and make sure that Hawaii recognizes that history, it's a history that could go underground. And that would be a shame, because I think it's an important part of Hawaiian history.
Billy Kay is a Scottish television and radio presenter who's been in Hawaii this week conducting interviews for a project about the Scottish outmigration called The Scottish World. He's planning a three-part documentary radio series on Scots in Hawaii, and you can learn more about him and his work on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page. Bethann, you got a little bit of the flavor of Billy Kay's project about the Scots in Hawaii, but he travels the world looking at places that Scots have settled and the influence that they have had.
And some of the information that a lot of us aren't necessarily taught growing up about Hawaii.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, there's always more to learn about history any given period. There are always stories within the story that emerge. Lots of fun to hear about that.
That's true, and also stories that we hope aren't going to end, like Wahiawa General Hospital. But that's another one whose end we have yet to hear, and we'll be watching that story. For now, we're going to say goodbye and go right back to Pledge Central. Tomorrow, we're going to have the past and the future meeting up in the present as we talk to incoming GM Jose Fajardo and current chief Michael Titterton. Hope you'll plan to join us then.
And there's a new show from the Kauai Island Singers Showcase.
I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich, and you, sir, are?
Chris Vanderkirk.
That's right, and we're going back to Ray Cruz. Take it away, Ray.
Thanks, Beth Ann. Thanks, Chris. Great show as usual. You know, the great thing about the conversation is that you always have something new to learn. Every morning you're going to learn a little something about what's going on in the community, or even like people, the Scots that live here in Hawaii. It's important that we get that story out. And this morning, the conversation has covered some really great stories about the hospital in Wahiawa and Marcus Oshiro talking about the $3 million that we need annually to keep it going. And also HTC's Young Actors Ensemble. You don't hear this on any other program. You know, and we chatted with Chad Blair, the reality check. And right now I'm going to have a reality check with you.
But before they do, right, before you do that. Mm-hmm. I'd like the listeners and folks who are going to be calling in soon to write this number down. Please do this. Just write it down, and then we'll have a reality check. 941-3689, calling from the Neighbor Islands, 1-877-941-3689. Thanks.
Yeah, Gene. You know, the fact of the matter is that this drive started 6 days ago with a huge sum of money. And we come to you every 6 months and ask you that if you listen to this station, whether it's The Conversation or Morning Edition or any one of the numbers of programs, I could go on and be here and waste 10 minutes telling you all the programs. And you're telling us how important it is to you because we hear it all the time. But at this point of the drive, we need to hear from you and support shows like The Conversation. I mean, you have to get involved. You have to get involved. You can't wait for somebody else to do it or rely on somebody else to do it. That's not the way, to me, that's not a way to live. The way to live is for you to go out and you do your thing and your part. And all of a sudden, you breathe better. Mm-hmm. You breathe better. You feel better.
And the radio sounds better.
Absolutely. And I've been saying this all along. You hear in color. There's a difference between listening in black and white. Anybody can do that. But when you hear in color and something that moves you to the point of emotion and makes you smile, makes you cry, I mean, that's what life is all about. If you can't smile, laugh, or cry, you're going nowhere.
And it's called individual responsibility.
Absolutely.
Individual responsibility. If you listen to Hawaii Public Radio, do the right thing and contribute. 941-3689 on Oahu, toll-free from the Neighbor Islands and elsewhere, 877-941-3689.
You know what, Wayne? I got a $200.
Oh.
Did you hear that? Uh-oh. There you go. And here's the Radio Files mystery message clue of the day. You ready?
Ready.
100. 100. One more time. 100. And speaking of 100, I have a $200 matching gift on the table that we need to take in the next 3 minutes off of the table. And that'll get us a little bit closer to our goal of this morning for The Conversation. As we were talking earlier, Gene Evans, this is a program that a lot of man hours are put into research to be able to bring you these kind of stories like Waihua Hospital and, of course, Billy Kay, Scots in Hawaii, and all the stories that you hear on a daily basis. Listen, if you listen to this program and you haven't given yet,
now's the time to do it.
Now's the time to do it. I mean, I wish I could just open my heart out and tell you how important it is for us to finish this drive on time or finish it early. And we know we're going to do it because we always do.
And we're not stopping until we finish. That's the other thing.
That's it.
And there are 100 reasons for you to call. If you like music, culture, information, inspiration, that now is the time to call. 941-3689 on Oahu, toll-free 877-941-3689, because this is a reality check.
Absolutely. Yep.
The existential question, do you want this enough to be part of it?
Absolutely. I mean,
that's
the bottom line. Yeah. If it's important to you, it's important to us to make sure that we do everything to bring you quality programming 24/7 on two quality streams pretty much throughout the state, you know? And do you want it bad enough? Mm-hmm. Is it that important to you? It is to me. Mm-hmm. It is to everyone in this building right now because we're here because we believe in what we have. Question is whether you do. And I know you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to me.
You're listening to the Pledge Drive.
Duh. 941.
Exercise individual responsibility.
Thank
absolutely.
You,
you play to win. 941-3689. Toll free. 1-877-941-3689. Be that caller. It could be you. It's that simple. walk over to the phone. We have our volunteers standing by. They'd much rather be talking to you right now. Give us a call, 941-3689. I want to remind you that you're tuned to member-supported Hawaii Public Radio, KIPO Honolulu, KIPM Waikapu, KHBH Kailua Kona, KIPH Hana, KIPL Lihue, and KAHU Pahala, collectively the stations of HPR2. You know, I felt it that somebody was going to call, and it happened. So I'm just going to keep on having that feeling and know that someone is going to get it, and you're going to call. 941-3689, toll free 1-877-941-3689. 25 seconds.
Just do your part.
Yeah, nothing we're not more. Asking for more.
Nothing well, more. You know? Just do your part.
And the thing is, if you can only give a certain amount of money, we get it. And we appreciate it just as much as any other call that we get. 941-3689, toll free 1-877-941-3689.